You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, I'm In. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you're here. I don't know if I've told you this lately, but I want to tell you it. And I just want you to really know that I love you. And I'm proud of you. And I trust that you are enjoying this race that we're in. And I'm trusting that you're running to win. You know, at the beginning of this, I said that there was a number of things that we would experience. One is we would experience miracles. And I'm hearing stories of miracles. Another thing that I heard that we would experience, or I shared with you that we would experience, would be we would be attacked spiritually. And I know that some of us are there. And then I also said that we would experience tremendous joy because we would see God at work in spite of everything that's going on in our lives. And I know that you are doing that as well as me. And so we're so glad that you have chosen to join us in this series called I'm In, Run by Faith. Now, it has been said that nothing great is ever accomplished without commitment. And I believe that to be true. We can try to get around it, but we never will. Greatness only comes to a person through the avenue of commitment. So today, we want to look at run with commitment. Run with commitment. I came across a book. You might want to get it. It's called The Last Arrow. It's by Irwin McManus. And he tells the story of him and his son visiting Irwin's father, Bill. And he goes on and he says this. He said, I had not seen my father or spoken to my father for 15 years. For 15 years. And when I got cancer, Irwin said, my son Aaron said, I want to go meet your dad. And he said, so we tracked and we went to where my dad lived. And we had this engaging conversation. And he said, it was going pretty well. And then my father said these words to me. I don't know what your dad has told you, but I want you to know that he was average. His brother was exceptional, but he was average. And Irwin writes in his book that those words cut me like a knife. He goes on to say, don't misunderstand me. What hurt me most was not that those were the last words my father chose to say to me. Nor was I hurt because my son was present to hear this judgment. What cut me the deepest was the terrifying sense that Bill McManus, my father, was right. I was average. And Irwin goes on to say this. He said, while I always hoped that one day there will be something special about me, the truth is, I made my home in the average, if not below average. I found a strange solace and safety in my power of the invisibility and made obscurity my residence. Wow. Does that hit you like it hits me? That's weighty. And Irwin said that from that, he's thanked his father because it altered the way he wanted to finish life. And so he ended up writing the book, The Last Arrow, determined that he would begin to live at a whole nother dimension that he had never experienced or lived before. You see, without commitment, you'll live an average life. And yet the fact of the matter is no one is born average. I believe that many of us, though, choose to live a life of mediocrity. We choose to live a life of average. And I think that there are more of us who are in danger of disappearing in the abyss of the ordinary. You see, the tragedy is none of us have anything ordinary about us. We're created in the image of our God, who's great, who's good, and who is generous. And we might not be convinced of that, but your heart knows that. My heart knows that. My heart knows that, you know what? I was not created to be average, which is why we find ourselves tormented and frustrated when we choose to live beneath our capacities and our callings. Irwin goes on to say that there is two ways that you can receive this indictment, that you are just average. One way is hearing the statement of essence, that you're cut from an average piece of cloth. He said the second one is more subtly, but significantly different. And the statement can be about your character, that you have chosen the path of least resistance, that you have not aspired to the greatness that is within your grasp. And he says this can become a painful reality to all of us. You see, all of us here today will choose to define ourselves by the average if we don't choose to define the odds and to be able to run to win. You see, the odds are that you will fall to being an average person. It's where most people live. You see, to be above average demands a choice. It calls for a commitment from me and from you. It calls to a commitment to run, not just by faith, not just with purpose, but it calls you and I to run with commitment. You see, you and I have no control over whether or not you and I have been given above average talent, above average intellect, or above average physical abilities. But what you can control, and what I do control, and all of us here control, is to choose whether we're going to allow our life to be defined by the status quo. And we all know what the status quo is, right? It's the mess that we're in. And God has given you and I that freedom. And I want to challenge each and every one of us. I want to challenge each and every one of us to take absolute control over your personal responsibility to develop and maximize your potential that God has given you for the good of others. That's why our mission at New Point is to help people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you today to raise the bar. Run with faith. Run with purpose. Run with commitment. Raise the bar of the expectations that you have on yourself. Quit just getting by. Quit just participating. Have a belief in the greatness and the goodness and the generosity of God. Refuse to be average. Refuse to accept average. And rage war against the mentality and the attitude and even the spirit of the temptation to settle for less. You see, why do we settle for average? Because average is always the safe choice. And yet at the same time, it's the most dangerous choice that any of us could make. You see, average protects us from the risk of failure. But it also separates us from the future of greatness. And I believe that that is so, so true. So we have average moms and dads, average parents, average husbands, average wives, average leaders, Y'all right? God wants you to run with commitment, because nothing great will ever happen in your life. Your marriage won't be great. Your family won't be great. Your life won't be great. Your relationship with Jesus Christ won't be great. We as a body of Christ will not be great without commitment. Nothing ever great happens without commitment. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and 15 and 16, there's a story there about Asa. And Asa becomes king. And he's leading Judah. And he begins to experience God in incredible, unbelievable ways. And he comes against a great army that is four or five times larger than the army that he has. And with God's help and with God's power, they defeated them. And things were going very, very well. And yet somehow he started to slide. He started to coast. And a prophet visited Asa. And here's what he had to say. He said, "The Lord is with you if you will be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And what ended up happening is, in all of Asa's prosperity and things that were going well in his life, he began to forget God. His commitment slipped. What happened is he came to a place of where he started trusting in the blessings of God instead of the God who blessed him. And they came up against Syria. And what happened is he relied upon all of his possessions and all of his riches to be able to deal with the king from Syria. And he put his trust in his possessions and in his position. And he ended up getting defeated. And this same prophet who spoke these words speaks these words in the next chapter. And here's what he tells Asa. He says, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." You see, when Asa was fully committed to God, he had victory in his life. But the day that he started to waver on his commitment to God and put his trust in that which God had blessed him with, it impacted him, and it impacted his kingdom and the people around him. And so it is with you and me. God will strengthen your heart. What's your heart? Your heart is the core of who you are. He will strengthen your heart if you're fully committed to him. But you have to run with commitment. And you might say, "Dwight, what do I need to know about commitment?" You're talking about commitment because we're confused on commitment. Some of us here today, we think we're committed and you're not committed. You just have good intentions. You see, here's what we need to understand. Intent reveals desires, or your desire. And so what happens is, many times we're full of good intentions. We desire something, but that's not commitment. Here's what commitment is. Action reveals commitment. You can be here today and you can say, "I desire this, Dwight." But if you don't take actions to it, then you're not committed. You're deceived. The Bible tells us over and over again not to be hearers of the word only and deceive yourself. To say, "Hey, you know what? This is what I need to do. This is what I need to change. This is what I need to give up. This is what I need to embrace." And you can deceive yourself and not even know where you're at spiritually, because your life is full of intentions that reveal desires, but not actions that reveal commitment. Y'all okay? See, let me tell you about many people here today. Many of us have made a decision for Christ, but we haven't made a commitment to Christ. And you're wondering why it doesn't work. You're ready to give up. You're saying, "Hey, you know what this God thing, this Jesus thing does?" You made a decision for Christ, but you haven't made a commitment to Christ. That's like living together and never getting married. You want all the benefits, but you don't want to be committed. And you'll never have all the benefits of Christ until you're committed to Christ. And so my question for you today is this: have you made a decision for Christ, but not a commitment to Him? You won't run to win the prize if you just make a decision for Christ. You have to make a commitment to Christ. And to be able to say, you know what? God, I am fully committed to you, and I need you to strengthen my heart. And He will fulfill it as much today as in the day of Asa. And so what do we need to know about commitment? Let me give you some things here. You can follow along in your note-taking guide, because here's what I want you to understand. Many of us are like the farmer. You say, what do you mean the farmer? Well, there was a farmer in Holmes County, and there were some guys bringing their wives down to Amish country, and they were just looking at the leaves and enjoying all of that, and they saw this pig that had a wooden leg. And they thought, you got to be kidding me, honey. I've never seen this in all of my life. I want to go talk to the farmer. And so they found the farmhouse, and they went up and they knocked. And the guy said, hey, he said, we're from out of town. We're just visiting the Amish community. I saw that you had a pig with a wooden leg. And I told my wife, I've never seen that. I've got to meet a man. If he's that committed to his livestock, I got to meet that man. And he said, would you tell me about it? And he said, yeah. He said, last winter, he said, we had a fire in the house. He said, it started in our living room. And my wife and I, we were upstairs. And the pig must have saw it from the field. And he came and he ran into the house and he woke everybody up. And it was because of him that my wife and I were saved, and all of our family was saved, and we just haven't had the courage to eat them all at once. That's the picture of some of our commitment. When you start really asking questions, we find out that our lives are full of good intentions, but very little action. Very little action. And so how do we run to win? Let me help us with this, all right? Here's the first thing. You got to understand the power of commitment. You have to understand the power of commitment. That when you make a commitment and you stick to it, it has incredible, unbelievable power. Let me give you three things that we need to understand. Here's the first one. My commitments show my values. My commitments show my values. They show what I really believe is important. They show what I really think is important. They show what I really love. You see, there's no such thing as love without commitment. And the essence of love is to commit yourself to someone. I may say something is important to me, but if I'm not committing my time and my talent and my treasure towards it, it's not all that important. I might say that my family is important, but if I commit all of my time to my work, then they're not that important. I might say that my health is important to me, but if I don't commit myself to certain habits, then I'm lying to myself. I might say that life is important to me, but if I'm reckless with it, then the fact of the matter is, I'm lying to myself. You see, what happens is, your commitment shows what you value. It shows what you value. And an uncommitted person is a self-centered person, because your commitment shows your values. Jesus would say it like this. He would say, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. What's he saying? He's saying that your commitment, what you're devoted to, shows what you really value. And so my commitment shows my values. My commitments also shape my life. They shape my life. And we need to understand this. We need to realize this. I become whatever I am committed to. You see, the reason why you are where you are today is because of the sum total of your commitments. You don't like where you are? Then change your commitments. But your commitments shape your life. Solomon tells us this in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. You see, once you choose your commitments, you're setting your character in place. You're setting it in stone. And so that's why you and I have to commit. We have to make sure that our commitments are scrutinized and that we're very, very careful with our commitments, because your commitments, my commitments, shape our life. We have to understand that. We have to realize that. Here's the third thing, and that is this. My commitments determine my rewards. They determine my rewards. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:10, here's what he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And so what happens is your commitment determines your reward. Here's what many of us do not understand. Your belief determines where you will spend eternity. But your behavior determines how you will spend eternity. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you've never made a decision and a commitment to Christ. I would invite you to do that. And you can make that commitment right now by just saying, God, as much as I know and as much as I understand, I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit and make me into the man, the woman, the person that you want me to be. And then what happens is, I want to live for you. I want to be committed. I don't want to just make a decision for you. I want to be committed to you, because my belief determines where I will spend eternity. Your behavior will determine how you spend eternity, because God will reward you for your commitment here on earth. So we have to understand the power of commitment. Here's the second thing that we need to be able to do. We need to realize the price of commitment. We need to realize the price of commitment. You have to count the cost. You have to count the cost. Here's what Jesus has to say. Jesus says, if you want to be my followers, you must love me more than your father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, even more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. You have to realize the price of commitment. There's a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. It's more than just a belief in him. And if you're going to run with commitment, you have to have more than a decision for him. You have to have a commitment to him. In another passage, Jesus would say this, if any man come after me, he must take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. Y'all okay today? Y'all right out there? See, this is serious stuff. C.S. Lewis said it like this, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Wow, it can't be moderately important. You're either in or you're out. You're either committed or you're not committed. And you have to understand the price of commitment. So let me ask you, have you realized the price of following Christ? You know what he asks of you and asks of me? I'm in. All of me. My time, my talent, my treasure. Everything. I'm in. Now, what does that look like? What does it look like when you and I realize the price of commitment? I think there's four or five areas, and I just want to help us with this. Here's the first one. The first one is this, I give Christ the first thoughts of each day. That's putting Christ first, because he deserves to be first. And so what happens is, in the morning, okay, in the morning, I come and I say, God, I want to meet with you. I want to carve out 15 minutes. We've challenged you that. That's why we have dailies. We have dailies. I want to meet with you the first thing, because you're the most important person in my life. Here's what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, each morning I will look to you in heaven and lay my requests before you. Wow. That's incredible. So I give him the first thoughts of my morning, of my day. I connect with God. Very first thing, I do that. Here's the second thing, and that is this. I commit the first day of the week to God. I commit the first day of the week. You see, Sunday is not the end of the weekend. Sunday is the beginning of the week. And the reason why it is the beginning of the week is because that's the day that Christ rose from the dead. And that's why Scripture tells us, it says, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together. Why? Because they needed to remind themselves first and foremost that Jesus Christ is alive, that he has solved their greatest problem, and that whatever they would face during the week, they are more than conquerors, and that they can do all things through Christ who gives them strength. And so I give him the first thoughts of the day. I give him the first day of the week. And then I give him this, the first 10% of every paycheck. That's what it means to be committed to Christ. Don't tell me Old Testament. Okay? Don't tell me. What happens is you're that pig with a wooden leg. You're looking for ways to squeeze yourself out. Y'all right? Look at what it says here in Proverbs, okay? Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all of your income. Deuteronomy 14:23 says this, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. See, that's the bottom rung. Do you guys know that? Do you know that the Ten Commandments is not the top of the rung? The Ten Commandments is the bottom rung on the ladder. You know, the Ten Commandments, what does the Ten Commandments say? Do not commit adultery. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, if you look upon a woman and lust, you've committed adultery. Oh, y'all right today? The Ten Commandments says, do not murder. And Jesus says, I tell you that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And so what happens is, when you come to grace, when you come to Jesus Christ, everything rises. He raised all of the boats. Okay, y'all right there? And so what happens is you give him the first 10%. I like it like this. I've heard it taught this way, and I like it. The three P's of giving. One is priority giving. That means that you just set it up as a priority in your life. You know what? I'm going to give. I'm going to at least give something. I'm going to start there, no matter what. It's not going to be the leftover. I'm going to give. And then what happens is I'm going to move to percentage giving. And I'm going to continue to say, okay, God, this is the percentage I'm going to give you, whether I make $1,000 or $100,000, $1 million. This is the percentage that I'm going to give. And then you go to progressive giving, and you continue to progress. And as God prompts you and God gives you opportunity, you just give and give and give and give. And that's part of what we're talking about at the I'm In campaign. See, I live all three of these. You say, what gets you there? Commitment to Christ. You know, in this campaign, you know, we're asking you to ask God this question. God, what do you want to do through me so that your vision at New Point will be fulfilled? Patty and I have been praying on that. I shared with her what I thought we should give. And she said, I don't really think that that's sacrificial. How about that, fellas? And so we came back and we prayed and we talked and we prayed and we talked. And so here's what we're giving. We're going to give a third of our income over the next 2 years. A third. And anything that I get from speaking, which could be small, could be big, we're just creating space for God, we're going to give to the campaign. You say, Dwight, why do you share that? I thought we weren't supposed to know what our right hand and our left hand is doing. No, you're reading Scripture wrong. I'm sharing that with you because I want you to know I'm committed. I'm all in. So you don't have to worry about where I'm at on this. I'm all in. And I'm not the only one. Many of you are. And I want you to check out this video because you will see in this video these three P's appearing in these men's life. Check it out.
I needed something from God. And I told him, I said, the only way I can make true on this promise was you're going to have to help me because I don't have anything. And he did. But in the art of giving, in the process of giving, it changes your heart. And you start giving not just to get, but you start giving for the hereafter. You're giving kingdom money. That's what I call it kingdom money. And at my age, I'm 64, but I think more of these things than I did when I was 25 or 35. Because the rewards I want to get aren't necessarily here. I've done very, very well. And God has come through in a miraculous way for me. And that's why I've been able to help other people.
One November, December, Dwight was in a series and they were talking about money. And of course, different parables of which he talked about it. So far as, you know, your heart is where your treasure is. And also the one parable about the gentleman who was getting his wheat cut and he gave 10% of the first cut, you know, to the Lord. And I got to thinking about that. And we decided that we had put our lives in God's hands for so long now. Why not put, you know, do this, decide to do it, and then put our finances in God's hands? And, you know, now we're retired, and so, you know, we were concerned about it, but said, let's do it and put our worries and our problems into God's hands. We did that, and we haven't worried about a single solitary thing.
My difficulty was always saying, how do I tithe when I don't know what I'm going to receive this month? It's a lot of people are surprised to hear that business ownership doesn't always come with an income that does this. It can be hills and valleys. And so I struggled with that. And I was sitting in church one Sunday, and Dwight said a couple things in his message. And I literally stopped and said, God, but how do I apply this in my life when I don't know what I'm going to earn? And the light bulb moment was when I felt I heard God say, give what you anticipate earning. And I've never looked back. It's the greatest joy that I can ever paint. And I heard it from a lot of Christian brothers over the years who weren't in business and they knew what they were going to make. And I believed it. But believing it and living it is two different things. And so that was just an incredible transition in my life, and one that I am so thankful that God reached into my heart and said, look, it's not that difficult.
I cannot explain how important and how assuring that really is. I mean, to be able to, you know, take your life and put it in the hands of somebody, whether it's for your everyday problems, it's for financial, it's for whatever, you know.
It's the more you give, the more you receive. And the peace, the comfort is, I'm at a high point in my life when it comes to those things. I never obsessed over money. I knew that God would provide, but trusting Him with everything was a whole different matter.
When we give to God, He doesn't just give back what we gave Him. He gives it back in multiples. And if you don't believe it, try it. I did, and it worked.
And so, you know what? We give to God. And I realize that all of us are in a different spot in our spiritual journey. But you need to make it a priority. And there in your weekly, we have a generosity ladder. And you can find out where you're at. What step do you need to take to begin this journey, because it's all important. Because when you trust God with your finances, what happens is it spills over to every other area of your life that you can trust Him. So we want to be able to give God the first thoughts of our day, the first day of the week, the first 10% of our income. We also want to give Him the first consideration of all of our decisions. We want to go to Him and give Him the first consideration. God, I need to hear from you. Before I talk to anybody else, I need to hear from you. Here's what Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, wrote. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. So what do we need to do? We need to understand the power of commitment. We need to realize the price of commitment. And then we need to avoid the pitfalls of commitment. Asa did not avoid the pitfalls of commitment. And there's two that I want to share with you. The first one is we get confused. We get confused. Once we get committed, what happens is good things begin to happen. And if we're not careful, we get confused. And here's what Jesus would say in Mark 4:19. The attractions of this world and the delights of wealth, the search for success and the lures of nice things come in and crowd out God. That's exactly what happened to Asa. God had blessed him so much that he put his faith in what God had blessed him with, and it crowded God out. You see, prosperity is a good thing, but the fact of the matter is you can start trusting in that instead of God, and you can become confused and start worshiping the blessings instead of the blesser, and that is Jesus Christ. Here's the second thing. We get complacent. We get complacent. Because the fact of the matter is, life is good. We got more than what we want, more than what we need. And life becomes good and we become complacent. Here's what Paul challenges the church in Rome. He says, don't be lazy in showing your devotion, your commitment. Use your energy to serve the Lord. You see, what happens is too many of us, we're living off of commitments that we made a decade ago. A decade ago. That's why, you know, I'm not giving to God what I gave a decade ago. You know why? I made a commitment 10 years ago, but I'm constantly renewing that, whether it's with my time, my talent, or my treasure. And you don't want to get complacent. Asa did. And so you want to avoid the pitfalls of commitment. And then you know what? When you run, listen to me. When you run and you run to win, if you're going to run to win, you got to enjoy the prize. You've got to enjoy the prize for total commitment. And here's the first one. God assumes full responsibility for your life. God assumes responsibility for your life when you are all in to Him. Look at what Jesus has to say. Don't worry. How do you know when you're not all in? You worry, okay? Don't worry saying, what shall we eat or drink or wear? Your heavenly Father already knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. What He says is, if you will put me first, if you are sold out, if you're fully committed to me, then you know what? I will take care of you. God assumes responsibility. Here's the second one. God will reward you. God will reward you. When you exhibit full commitment and surrender to Him, He will reward you. And when I say reward, our minds automatically go to the material. Do you know that God can give you things that money can't buy? You can buy a house, but you can't buy a home. You can buy a bed, but you can't buy rest. You can buy a doctor, but you can't buy health. You can buy people, but you can't buy peace. God will reward you in incredible ways. Look at what it says here. It says, the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. He will reward you. So here's my challenge. Don't be average. And we're not talking about being cut from a different piece of cloth. I'm talking about in your character. I'm talking about in your relationship with God. You're as close to God as you want to be. I'm as close to God as I want to be. And God wants you to run with Him. God wants you to run by faith, with purpose, and with commitment. Here's what He wants all of us to do. Paul says this, give yourself completely to God, every part of you. You want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for His good purposes. So let me ask you as we close, what will you choose? So what will you do with what you've heard? Will you settle for less than what God intended, or will you commit everything you have and everything you are? It's the only way to run to win. Only way. And I believe that when you and I are fully committed to God and we are connected to Him in that way, He allows you and I to run fearlessly and courageously with great expectation. And I invite you into this race to run to win. Would you pray with me? God, we love you today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for setting the example by coming to earth as the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. And you showed us what it meant to be fully committed, to be fully in. And you were able to say, it is finished. And you want each and every one of us to be able to say, mission accomplished. I have done what you've asked for me to do. And I pray that for each and every one of us here today, that we wouldn't just be content with desires, but we would have action that leads to commitment. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.